The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club. Gentlemen, boys, and girls, children of all ages, Ramble Mania Show proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angel of Death 6XL, joining me as always,
is I, your other half, the longest reigning Ramble Mania tag team champions of all the times, CJ the Great 2.
Him CJ and his grapefruits.
You damn right. Speaking of. Never mind. We are the Banter Club. We are here to talk about AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network.
On the I Got Hoes Network.
You damn right, Nate Dogg. Rest in peace to the man. He knew what the mission was and how we set out to accomplish that.
Yep.
Before we talk about Dynamite, of course, we talk about the news items in and out and about the week of pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
A few things going on here and there. A couple things. Let's start off with some sad news. Melanie Pillman, the widow of the late, great Flying Brian Pillman. Of course, mm-hmm. Brian Jr.'s mom. She's passed away. I don't think they have a cause of death or anything yet, but Brian Jr. posted on Twitter and Instagram earlier, you know, of course, if you know the story, you talked about, you know, they had a complicated relationship growing up. She had her issues and her struggles with drugs and alcohol and everything. But he said, you know, later in her life, she got clean and she really made the effort to mend fences with her son and, you know, set things right in her life. And, you know, he talked about how he wished he would have had, you know, more time to spend with her, how he wished he wouldn't have held on to a lot of that resentment that he had for her. And, you know, he's glad that, you know, they did the dark side so that they could get the ball rolling on reestablishing their relationship. So, you know, gotta be a tough situation because, again, complicated relationship, but, you know, still your mom and, you know, there's still always going to be love there. So, you know, shout out to Brian Jr., who, you know, both his parents now. Gone.
Damn.
Of course, you know, Melanie Pillman, her wrestling moment is probably the night after Brian died. Brian Cena. Oh,
that shit was brutal.
Yeah, fucking the interview on Raw.
Fuck Vince for that shit. I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely. Incredibly fucked up.
I wouldn't have asked her any of that shit. She just went through that like, I would have just fucking left their ass alone, man.
And he did it with the sole fucking intention and purpose of absolving a company of responsibility. Like, he just wanted her to say, nah, he wasn't doing any drugs or anything so that the WWF would be clear of any blame. Like,
fuck that. If you need to get a statement later on, you can get a statement. But let her fucking grieve. That's some fuck-ass shit.
It was
an
absolute trash thing to do. It was trash. Yeah. But, you know, It was good to read. Like, reading, I think everybody should read what Brian Jr. wrote on Instagram because it paints a good picture of, you know, that relationship and what she went through, what they went through, and how things went over the years. Really heartfelt, really well thought out. So, rest in peace to Melanie Pillman.
Yeah.
On a different note, Liv Morgan, she about to get into the acting game.
Mommy.
Deadline has announced that she's been casted in a movie called The Kill Room, which is described as a darkly comic thriller. And this cast is actually quite a cast. Uma Thurman, Samuel L. Jackson, you know, Joe Manganiello, that dude, Maya Hawke.
Isn't it Manganiello?
Manganiello. I never know how to say that.
I don't know how to say
it.
Sophie
Vergara's husband.
That
Flash
guy, Joe
Thompson
Manganiello.
And the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. You know that guy.
Yeah. Manganiello.
I wouldn't want to fight you, Flash. I wouldn't want to fight me neither. That guy.
The pretty guy with the little grays in the front.
Yeah. Stat cast. I imagine she's getting like a small role or whatever, but this might be the point where people see her real name and realize it is so much cooler than her fake name.
Gianna fucking Daddio.
Yeah. Wait till gorgeous people realize name, this unbelievably gorgeous girl is named Gianna Daddio. It might be a rap. Hollywood might just be like, hey, come here. Come here. Let's go.
And kind of like somebody by the name of Mercedes.
Yeah, wait till people realize. Like, what is she going to do without the Sasha Banks name? Her name is Mercedes, bro. She'll be fine.
Exactly, bro. All you need is a Benz. She'll be in every fucking Benz. She'll be in every Benz commercial from here to the end of time. If they catch on. It's a wrap.
So, yeah. The only person I'm feeling bad for is Naomi
because I'm like, what of her now?
She'll be, her name is Trinity.
Her name is fire. I know that. But I'm saying
her name is Trinity.
You know, she's not Sasha.
Star power wise, she's not like as established as Sasha. Yeah, but
that's
what I'm
saying. That's a little rough.
She's got. I think she'll be able to make her inroads. Yeah, she'll be able to make her inroads.
Hopefully, she end up over here.
Yeah, maybe she do. Maybe
with
she
her
don't.
Friends.
Yeah, well, she got. I mean, she got some homies or two.
Imagine
over here.
Her with the baddies.
Yeah, you can put her in the baddie section. No,
imagine her versus the baddies.
I can't take that. Yeah, do that instead. I might not be able to take that either. But either way, it's a possibility.
Sunny Kiss versus Trinity.
Possibility. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that. They both do the rear view and shit. And
exactly.
The whole type of...
imagine they do a double rear view to each other.
Yeah, and
they just land on the ground like, ah. They fucking blew out each other's backs. Talking about,
get the Japan reaction. Oh,
fucking, what was it, WrestleMania 2000? Fucking bump into the nigga. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I do that.
You know, a lot of people were wondering, like, yo, what the fuck is, why is that in there? I'm like, have you ever watched Japanese wrestling?
Yeah.
They got it from the Japanese crowd. That's not from American crowds. American crowds don't do that shit.
Yeah, you never see that shit in WWE, so people are confused. Like, what?
Yeah. Why does the crowd go, oh, when they bump each other? I'm like, watch New Japan.
That's how they
or
do
All
it.
Japan.
Nice. Now let's talk Ring of Honor real quick. There's a report from Fightful Select that states that some AEW talent has been told that Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor is being planned for the weekend of July 23rd, 2022. Expected to take place in Lowell, Massachusetts. So, guess, you know, Ring of Honor going to don't want a pay-per-view real quick, trying to get their stuff going. I imagine, you know, all the champs will be on that. So, interesting to see. We'll see what happens. Especially considering, you know, after this weekend, Tony's been having all these meetings and mixers and all this type of stuff with the Warner Media people. And he seemed very happy about those things and the presser and what he said publicly. So it'd be interesting to see what comes of that. Now for the rating for AEW Dynamite.
What was said rating?
969,000 viewers and a 4.0 rating in the 18 to 49 key demographic, which is number 2 on cable.
Not
their
bad.
Best number since March 23rd.
Obviously, since the playoffs started.
Yeah, obviously, no more NBA playoffs in Dynamite's way. It's the finals, and the finals are exclusively on ABC. And I don't think there will be any finals games on a Wednesday or Friday. So I think they're finally out of the NBA's way. So.
Good.
Yeah, so with that done, they're going to be climbing back up. And, of course, this was a post-pay-per-view show. So, good number. Especially, you know, with, like I said, those Warner execs in the building, Tony can go right up to them like, hey, you see? Number 2 on cable. So.
It is time to light the fuse.
And bring the boom.
And who? Let's banter.
AEW Dynamite from Los Angeles, California. They are finally out in the West Coast. Specifically at the Forum, the former home of the LA Lakers.
We about to get lit, bro. It's California, yay.
Yes, indeed.
Yo, you wanna go get some like some fucking gin and juice and smoke a little ganja, you know?
Yeah, they got all that In-N-Out Burger out there. You know what
I'm talking about? You want to get In-N-Out Burger, my fat ass?
I've never had In-N-Out. So yeah, when I go out to Cali, that's one of the things, to do. First thing first, I love the setup here. It's similar to how they did Grand Slam, where no big Trons. They just have the tunnels and they have the LED ramp. So it makes it feel like a special show, especially because I think there was 15,000 people here in the building tonight. So, you know, big arena, big vibe, like, and it's like we always talk about. I love that when, you know, guys come out and you can just see the people all around them. It gives off the vibe of just like a big, big time show.
It reminds me of that one Royal Rumble.
Yeah, the one WWE did, I think it was 2019, where they did it.
Where they came out the dugout?
Yeah, they came out the dugout. That shit was dope.
Shit was fire.
Yeah. So stuff like that. I love the minimalistic sets when they enhance the size of the arena. That's cool.
On some weird shit, that's why I like the original. This is going to sound crazy, but I like the original Titantron. Because it was for Raw, because it wasn't too busy.
Yeah.
And it made the crowd feel like the busy part. And I kind of like that. I always like when there's more black background, you know, than actual shit going on the stage. Because then that way the crowd feels more alive, I guess.
Yeah. They're the more the focal point of the presentation. Because as opposed to, you know, when you got all the lights and the gimmicks and everything going off, like, it looks cool. But sometimes it becomes distracting from everything else.
Yeah.
But we open up with a six-man tag. CM Punk and FTR versus the Gun Club and Platinum Max Caster, because Anthony Bowens is injured.
Yep.
Get well soon to the homie Bowens.
So you got Bowens in a wheelchair. Yeah. You got the Ass Boys left and right.
Yes.
And then you got our boy, well, Tevin's boy, because I'm always trolling his rhymes. Platinum Max Caster.
He was very good this week, actually.
He was funny.
He was very good this week.
Go ahead and talk about it, and I'll tell you what I like.
Yeah, he threw out the little Amber Heard line. That was the big one, but, you know,
that was funny.
He got a pop for it. And then he talked about FTR attaching themselves to Punk to get on TV. Mm-hmm. Fucking... He said Brett sucks.
Yep.
So yeah, he was clever this week. I like Max's shit this week.
He was funny.
Low key, in general, I think this might have been the best acclaimed entrance of all time, because their chemistry with the Ass Boys is fucking great. Like, you might have to turn these dudes face. Like, because the Ass Boys, they do Bowens' bit where they yell the name of the city, but they get it wrong.
They yell the wrong city.
They go, Sacramento! The crowd boos.
No!
And then Colton takes, he's like, no, it's San Diego!
Diego! And they're like, no!
And then Bowens takes, he's like, you idiots, this is how it goes. Los Angeles!
Angeles!
Big pop.
Huge
and then
pop.
He goes, the acclaimed have arrived.
Have arrived.
Scissor me, daddy ass, and fucking him and Billy.
Yeah, fucking pause. Hey, yo.
This entrance is fucking ridiculous.
And then he's giving him the scissors, and then he got a shirt on that says Ass Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking Bowen starts chanting, Ass Boys.
And while the beat is going, Colton, let me hear you go, Ass Boys.
And then Colton and Austin are just, no.
Max did the Ass Boys line at the end. They looked at him like, hey. Max is like, my bad.
Oh, man.
Like, their chemistry together is really good. They're really funny together. But yeah, we got six-man tag going, Ass Boys. They get the heat early on. Max comes in, world champ comes in. The commentators basically talk about how Punk worked his way up to the world title. Ass Boys, they get the heat on Billy. Billy Gunn fucking cracks Dax with a right hand.
Yeah.
The commentators are like, oh my God. He stiffed him. And JR's like, he's not going to get a receipt either. Dax goes for the hot tag, but both Punk and Cash are pulled off the apron. We go to Pip. Then we come back. Max Caster goes for a sharpshooter, but Dax kicks him away like we've seen enough bad sharpshooters in our lifetime. Fuck that.
Facts, bro. We didn't seen how many so far?
Yeah. Sunday alone, fucking, there were like three shitty sharpshooters.
Fucking, I'm sorry, Ruby Soho, but damn. Yo.
Yeah, I love you, Ruby Soho, but that was the worst sharpshooter I've ever seen, man.
You gotta stand up on that sumbitch, bro.
Billy distracts Punk. Austin rolls him up for a two. Austin goes for the Famouser, but Punk catches him, power bombs him into Billy, then GTS into the big rig. That gets the win. After Punk got the hot tag, he slipped up on the springboard, and he was shaky from there on out. He might have got dinged on it.
Yeah.
That hot tag was a little shaky.
It was a little. It is what it is.
But yeah, they win. Afterwards, Punk gets on the mic. He's like, you know, of course, I've never done drugs, but I imagine this is what it would feel like. Says, you know, there's still roads to travel, and I know that I have to get better, but that's what this championship is about, right? Says, you know, I wouldn't be here if the road wasn't littered with mistakes. I'm going to continue to get better. And you can call me what you want, positive or negative, but what you got to call me at the end of the day is the champ. And then Dax came in right after that, like, yeah, I did drugs, though. That shit was great. It's just like that. Yeah.
I did all that shit.
Yeah. All that shit you talking about, I did that shit. I know. But he's
man.
Yeah, no, he says.
I drank a little bit. I don't really drink, but I smoke. And yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, you know,
about it.
I love pro wrestling. So he says, you know, I got my wife and my daughter here in the crowd tonight, and those are the only two things in my life that are more important to me than pro wrestling. He says, you know, when you come into my ring, you walk down my ramp and you attack us, we don't take that lightly. So me and Cash, no matter where you come from, whether it's another company, whether it's this company, we're ready for a fight. And then Punk, he says, that takes us to New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is home.
Oh, spicy.
To some of the best. And then he says, you know, Forbidden Door, I know you're back there. Punk says, who you got for me, Forbidden Door? And out comes the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
And you heard it in the theme song, Go Ace.
Go Ace. I was like, oh, shit.
I love this fucking song. I was looking, so Butters was with me. We was at my job when this happened. And Butters was over here like, what? I'm like, he's the ace of the bubble.
He's the ace of the universe, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I was like, if it wasn't for him, New Japan wouldn't be where it's at right now.
That's a fact. Tanahashi.
And then fucking, he's like, oh. I was like, yeah, they're doing the thing with Japan and blah, blah, blah. They're like, oh, this is. I was like, yeah, they're not like WWE where they don't really acknowledge everybody else. They acknowledge everyone.
Yeah, they acknowledge everyone. I'm sure John Moxley was in the back like, that motherfucker. And Eddie Kingston's probably holding him back.
Eddie probably held him back.
Yeah, like, no.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
We got to deal with the sports entertainers, bro. But yeah, it looks like we're having Hiroshi Tanahashi versus CM Punk for the AEW World title at Forbidden Door. And that sounds cool as hell, honestly. Cool as hell. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of rumors about other guys. This is our first confirmed match so far. So, I mean, shit, not what I would have expected, but I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. It's time for MJF to speak.
Eek.
Eek. This man comes out. He's not wearing like a neck brace or anything. Mm-mm. You know, not really selling the fucking situation from the pay-per-view. He's here. He's looking pretty pissed. The Fiend is in the crowd.
The Fiend is always in the crowd.
Yeah, the Fiend is always just hanging out. Max grabs the mic, says, you know, I'm in a lot of pain after Sunday, but all you people want is to hear me talk, right? So I'm going to talk, but I'm going to do it as Max Friedman.
Oh.
Brings up, you know, yeah. Says, big merger, right, boss? Got a lot of execs here in the building to check out the show. Would be a real shame if something bad happened. Says, you know, Tony Khan, you've been trying to sit me down to hash things out for quite some time now, but I say it's too little too late, and here's why. When this place started, it was all friends wrestling. But me, I had to earn my way. And I made moment after moment after moment See, I'm not asked to hit home runs on a regular basis. I have to hit grand slams on a regular basis. I have to be perfect, and I do it every damn week. And the crowd cheers like, yeah, you do, you do. He says, you know, I carried this company on my back for months. And then he notes that the crowd has started cheering him throughout this. And he says, that's interesting that some of you are cheering me. Because I want to know where this energy was when you were calling me an unprofessional piece of shit over the weekend. And the crowd goes, oh, so yeah, we're going there. We're talking about it all. Mm-hmm. Says, you know, it's not just on you people, though. It's on the boys in the back because they want my spot. But guess what? You can have my spot because I don't want to be here anymore. Shits on the fans. He says, you know, you guys think you're so smart, but the truth is you're uneducated marks and you switch your opinions on a dime. Says, you know, perfect example. Says, people always say now that I always knew MJF was great in the ring, when in reality, they used to say I sucked in the ring for years. He kind of lost me at this point because I was like, who said that about him? Like, I've never heard
every, it. Damn near everybody that I know has always been like, oh, he's such a good wrestler, but shut the fuck up.
I mean, the only people I can think of are maybe the people who like thought he really was like one-to-one with Miz, but I feel like anybody who's ever like actually watched him wrestle, no, he's a good wrestler.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of those guys, you know, to be honest, are usually just internet trolls.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can see internet trolls saying shit like that, but like, anybody who's, like, actually watched MJF wrestle, like, they know. Yeah. That dude's a
great
wrestler.
Always said, like, yo, no wonder WWE wants him. Like, he's great on the mic. Like, he makes you hate him. He's great. Like, he is what a sports entertainer should be.
I feel like everybody has always said that about him. He is the total package. He can do promos. He can do in-ring. He can do it all. So I don't know where that came from, but he said it.
Yeah.
He says, why was that, though? I guess because it feeds into the next line. Why did you think I sucked in the ring? Because I wasn't untrained? Because I didn't pretend to watch New Japan? Because I didn't dump people on their heads? Says, what I do is I'm the only one out in here that makes you people feel, and I don't have to do a bunch of bullshit to get you there.
Are you talking about like GCW fans or some shit?
Maybe.
Hey, what are you talking about? We always talk about, you know, protect. Oh, God. You know, we look back at all the shit we used to watch and we're like, ah, oh, that's brutal. Like, we fucking. What are you talking about, B?
He says, says, I'm the best in the world and I am tired of being underappreciated. I am the second biggest minute-to-minute draw in this company. If you're wondering about who number one is, it's the world champion.
Yeah, CM Punk.
Says, but Tony's not going to give me the money I deserve because he's hoarding it for all the ex-WWE guys he keeps bringing in.
Oh.
Crowd at this point goes crazy.
Yeah, they're like, oh.
Says, you know, maybe you treat me better if I was an ex-WWE guy. And then he says, you know, I don't want to wait until 2024. I want you, Tony, to, and I quote, fire me, you fucking Mark.
Mark.
Fire me.
You
fire me.
Oh, my God. He didn't just say fire. He fucking fire me. Fire me.
And then they cut his mic and it cuts to black. We go to commercial. And that's,
you know,
that's,
you know what
it.
I was saying when we went to commercial? I told you it was a work.
Yeah, for me, it was like, okay, so now it's a work. Whatever it was before, it is now a work.
It is definitely now a work. Yeah. And I felt kind of like fucked up about it because I'm like, not for nothing though. Like, the crowd ate it, but I was over here like, bro, everything you say to that comes out of your mouth to me is always a work. Like, I'm sorry. Like, everybody's always like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everybody's all excited. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool and all. But I knew it was a work. Like, I always knew, like, my heart, like, there's no other way to me. There was nothing else to me. It was a work.
I mean, obviously, there's a ton to unpack with this, but
yeah, like I get it for the crowd, for the story. You know, it's good. It's good. It's just like, for some people to call it the pipe bomb. I'm like, no, because to me that was
his pipe bomb. This is for sure his pipe bomb.
His pipe bomb, but not when CM Punk did it. We kind of like we turned them face after that. Like we fucking
it's. while they are similar in a lot of ways, they're also different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, don't say that it's exactly like this or exactly like that, because to me, it's not, man. It's different. And
it's a lot of different things combined into one package. Like, there's a lot of Pillman in this. There's a lot of different elements.
To me, it's more Pillman and the whole Arn Anderson and Kevin Sullivan and all that kind of shit. Where it's like, I respect you, Booker man, type of deal.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's more like that than the pipe bomb, you know? Because then it was like, is he, isn't he? But I feel like me personally, after all the work stuff that had just happened, after all this, you know, shoot work, all that stuff that happened over the weekend, to me, like, I would have waited a little longer to drop this, but it is what it is.
That's the thing. Like, for one, I kind of don't like that they did it immediately after the pay-per-view, because it kind of like put the whole Wardlow thing and like drove it out of everybody's mind.
Yes.
Like, and I on the other hand, I understand that. Well, you strike while the iron's hot. Everybody's talking about this story of MJF and what happened over the weekend. So I get them wanting to strike while the iron's hot, especially because they got the execs in the building. So, you know, you're trying to drum up real buzz right now. So I understand that element of it. It's just, I don't know. Me personally, I wouldn't have done it this week.
I'm going to tell you what it is. Yes, strike while the iron's hot. But in this case, for what you were going for that real work shoot angle, if you would have given it time to settle, and then he just comes and boom, just does it. No introduction, no MJF is going to talk, no nothing. He comes out at the end of the show, goes ape shit, and then like does this whole gimmick that he just did, and it would have been way more effective to me.
Yeah, I mean, there is what I'm saying? Like, there is that.
You give it a second so that when it does happen, it's like, oh, it's happening now, and then boom.
Yeah, there is that part of it, because it was a scheduled MJF segment instead of just him randomly coming out like other guys have done in the past. But I find it super interesting that he basically went full on anti-AEW grifter in this. Like, he outright said All Friends Wrestling, talked about all the ex-WWE guys and, you know, untrained guys, all that shit that, you know, all the anti-AEW people be saying. He took all that shit and put it in this promo. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm surprised that he didn't say some shit like, this place is now all ex-WWE, because they be saying shit like that too. But it's even more interesting, I find, is that he did that, and then at the same time, he attacked those people with the whole your opinions change and then you act like they were always your opinions to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, because as MJF himself will tell you, Cody Rhodes is one of his best friends.
Yep.
And Cody Rhodes is the first person I thought of when he said that. Because you said it. Think of how many people fucking shit on Cody before, you know, when he was in AEW. And then the moment he jumped to WWE, they were... They were big Cody fans.
And then there was a whole bunch of guys who it was the other thing, where it was like, he comes in and like, oh, Cody, oh, now he's everywhere. Oh.
And flip side too. Like, there were people who liked Cody before, and then he jumped, and now they hate Cody. Like, there were people that switched up on Cody 100%.
You were sucking the first dick when he was here. You don't know what to do with Cody, blah, blah, blah. Yep. Then he went to your show and you were like, oh, the fuck up.
Yeah. So, like, it's interesting because, of course, MJF has always leaned into that during his AEW career. But this was the first time, I think, where it was the very center of his promo. It was the entirety of the content. And in many ways, it's genius because, like, you could see it online after the promo. Like, that anti-AEW crowd was fucking galvanized by this promo, because now they feel validated. Now you got a fucking guy on AEW TV saying all the shit you're saying on the internet. So now, if nothing else, it gets those people in on the product, even though, you know, they claim they hate it or whatever. But now those people are watching, like, yeah, you tell them. And Now, you know, it creates great intrigue and drama going forward. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. But I would just say this about it. The work shoot stuff in pro wrestling is tricky to play with. Because obviously, you know, when you do it right, it can elevate a career mm-hmm. or an angle or even an entire company
yep.
to unseen heights. Like, you know, the pipe bomb, mm-hmm. stuff like Pillman, the Heyman promo on Vince and the Invasion. Like, when you use it right, it can elevate something a great deal. But there's also a flip side to that.
You're going to hate me because I'm going back to the well? Another good promo that did the same thing. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now.
All his ECW promos are basically that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Austin's ECW promos are basically just him chewing on his time in WCW and you know, how pissed off he was that they dropped him like that. Yep. But yeah, again, there's a flip side to that where if you play with it too much,
yeah.
you lose the essence of telling your story
yeah.
because now there's no way to believably play off this real life issue with a fake wrestling match. Like, mm-hmm. you don't want to do stuff like, I don't have scissors, Sid. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
Or you don't want to do stuff like the first Roman Reigns and John Cena feud, where Cena basically like outlined everything that was wrong with Roman Reigns as a character and how they wrote him. And then we were supposed to believe that Roman being booked to pin Cena in a fake wrestling match was supposed to fix that. And of course not. Like, you went outside the kayfabe. You can't fix that with kayfabe. You went too far outside the kayfabe to fix it with kayfabe.
Yeah. Unless you're giving him a brand new contract.
Yeah, like there's got to be an end game to this that you can parlay back into kayfabe. Because, mm-hmm. like, I'm saying this because by the end of this, like, he's straight up yelling at Tony Khan. Like, Tony Khan, fire me, you mark. And, like, MJF ain't gonna wrestle Tony Khan. So, I mean, there's only so far you can play with that before you lose the essence of telling a wrestling story and, you know, you're too far outside the kayfabe box. So I would just say be careful. And I'm sure they got a plan or whatever. Like, because I think Sean Rossap reported that after the pay-per-view, MJF and Tony Khan had a meeting and they talked about some things. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some of this might have been the result of that meeting. Like, they probably came up with the idea or whatever. So they probably have a plan, but I'd be careful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, as far as the contract dispute, like, as I've said throughout this whole thing, I get Max's side and I don't necessarily disagree with him.
Yeah.
He is their hottest young commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, he probably could be their longest lasting commodity mm-hmm. because he's not as wild in the ring as the other three pillars, especially Darby and Sammy.
Yeah, because them motherfuckers is trying to die. Yeah.
So I don't think he's wrong to want more money, and I don't think he's wrong to want to test the free agent market. And on the flip side, I understand Tony Khan's point of not wanting to pay him without the long-term commitment. Because that's what has been said. Tony Khan doesn't mind giving him more money. He just wants him to sign an extension alongside with it,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, it's like any Supermax extension or anything that happens in any real sport. That's always what happens when you re-up and, you know, when a young player, you know, plays well beyond his contract level and he wants more money, they give him more money just with a longer commitment to the team. So that's normal. And obviously, throwing MJF a mega bag for him to go to WWE would reflect extremely poorly on Tony Khan. So I see why he doesn't want to just,
yeah.
okay, here, have $1 million, and then 2024, he just goes to WWE. That would look yeah, awful on Tony's
exactly.
part.
Exactly.
So it it reminds me, just going back to back, you digging into the Austin bag, I'm going to dig into the basketball bag.
Let's go.
yeah. It reminds me a lot of Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade in 2016 in the Miami Heat, where both parties were trying to do what they felt was the best for themselves, and they just couldn't get over that disagreement. Like, Dwayne Wade, he was never the highest paid player on the Miami Heat, and he wanted to be because
yeah.
he was the greatest player in franchise history.
Yeah.
But Pat Riley's point was, I can't pay you this big amount of money because I need us to remain competitive for, like, if you want to continue to play for championships and shit, I can't pay you that much because then I can't get other players to put alongside you. And they clashed over that. And then Dwayne Wade ultimately left and went to Chicago. But it's a similar issue here. Like, you know, MJF wants more money and Tony's like, I can't give you more money if you're just going to fucking go, you know, extend. But, you know, ultimately, Dwayne Wade came back to Miami and finished his career with the Heat. And my hope is that MJF stays in AEW, if for nothing else, because so much of his absolute best stuff, his tippy top best stuff, I just can't see them doing over there with him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it because it's stuff like this. It's so far outside the box, and it's Max being Max and straight out of his mind. I don't know if they'll let him do all that stuff over there. But I
feel like, just because I'm like, everything that comes out of this mouth, man's mouth is a work to me at this point. So, like, to me, I they probably been fucking settled on a nice little contract.
It's totally possible that Tony, they had that meeting. Tony was like, all right, I'll give you a raise. And then they went with this. It's totally possible.
Maybe even before that. Maybe before this whole situation. And they were like, you know what? Let's work this into an angle. And, man, you know, Jeff was like, nigga, hell yeah. It's kayfabe all day.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's a dicey situation. It's a fascinating situation, of course. And it's like a lot of people talked about. Like, this is where wrestling, and in many cases, shines the best, where you blur those lines between reality and fiction. But yeah, crazy promo from the big man, Jeff. And it's the talk of the week. So after that, during the commercial break, after they turned the lights off, the lights came back on. This wasn't on TV. This was just in the arena. Mm-hmm. Punk came out and like was like, hey, and then MJF left through the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, I mean, I was sure of it before, but like, I am like 500,000% sure of it now that the man who beats Punk for the title is MJF. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much. You feel me? Like, I don't want to jinx anything. Happen, I don't want to. I'm going to stay shut.
it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. But yeah, we come back from the break and the commentators don't mention it.
Nah.
Which I love.
What they actually talked about is fucking Johnny Elite signing an open contract with AEW.
Yeah, they talked about Johnny Elite and they talked about what happened before MJF, which was Tanahashi coming out.
Yeah,
like they acted like the MJF segment didn't even happen, mm-hmm. which if you want people to believe that it was a shoot, you got to treat it like it was a shoot. And if you got the commentators going, hey, what's up with MJF? Then that immediately shows, okay, no, this is just a story.
But you see, the thing with me is that, again, it goes back to like off rip. You feel me? I think about the NWO and how they just came out and did whatever the fuck. You feel me? And in MJF's situation, having an entrance and having the whole deal, like, I wish he would have just came out at the end of the show and went ape shit. And not even this week, probably next week, where people have simmered down and you've already got the whole Wardlow thing going and he's doing his own thing now. And nah, that's not what they did.
Yeah. They decided to play it up immediately. So you know, it's whatever. But they're definitely playing around with a lot of stuff. They've removed him from the roster page. They've taken his merch off the store. So it's they are blurring those lines. They playing.
Yep.
We got Johnny Elite, like you said, taking on an open contract. He has a mystery opponent. You know, he's at home. He's in LA. He's feeling confident. But
are you ready?
As we see,
you've been asking.
This man's confidence,
you've been begging,
is misplaced.
You've been begging. You've been asking. You've been wondering. Are you happy?
My man, the Redeemer, Miro, has returned.
You happy, bro?
He steps into the light out of the darkness. He cuts one of them damn fire promos that I've missed so much. Says, my neck of sand is fixed, but my heart is broken. He says, I no longer wish to come home, my God. I wish to take your home.
Jesus.
Do you see the duality of wrestling? you can have these big, wide, sprawling work shoot promos that blur the line like MJF, or you can be Miro and just threaten God. Both are great. Both work great, and they're completely different.
He's insane, bro. He's insane.
This man is out here looking for the smoke with God.
God. Okay, Vince.
In fact, I love that shit. By the way, God. Johnny Lee, Miro, both guys who before this were in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a coincidence following MJF's promo. I don't think that's a coincidence at all.
He's over here like, prove me wrong.
Johnny tries to sweep this man, but the Redeemer ain't having that. Oh, he goes up top, but Miro grabs him. It's a big side suplex as we go to Pip. We come back. Miro drops this man with the Boss Man slam. Looks for a Machka kick, but Johnny ducks. It's a roundhouse. Drops him with the springboard and a shooting star. Miro kicks out at one. And then Johnny goes for the rolling 450, but Miro dodges, mostly, and hits the Machka kick. And now it is game over.
Over. Yo, the crowd fucking yells it at the top of their lung.
It was ready.
Game over.
And he locks it in. Mm-hmm. He wins the match. And man, maybe he won't go after the TNT title. Maybe he's going up now. But I would love if he fucking went and got it back.
Yeah.
Go get that shit back. Go
what was he saying? Get that shit back. I'm doing it for the punks. The bucks. Was it
for the bastards and the cowboys?
The cowboys. He said the cowboys.
So Miro, you looking at them top guys, I guess. So
doing it for the cowboys. You know how we feel about them cowboys over here in New York.
We love you. Oh well, you know the football cowboys we don't fuck with, but
it's beef.
We like the wrestling cowboys.
Yeah, no, we like the wrestling cowboys, but you know. Fuck them cowboys.
Yeah, them football cowboys. We don't fuck with them. And we take a look back on Anarchy in the Arena, which indeed was fucking wild.
What was it that Justin Roberts said?
Shit's about to hit the fan.
You damn right. By the way, Tevin, again, are you happy?
Oh, I'm very happy.
With this boy Miro.
Oh, I'm so happy. I miss elated. That man so much.
You're elated?
I'm elated, man. We redeemed out here, man. And I love that he just first came in like, God, I'm coming for you. I was like, let's go.
No.
This man out here still beefing with God. I love that shit.
he was trying to redeem himself to God. Yeah. Not at this point. He's going to let his actions redeem him. And then go fight God.
Yeah. Bro, it's crazy, man. I love this dude.
What
so
is
much.
Wrong with you, bro? Issues, bro.
I love this dude, man. He's so good. But yeah, after the Anarchy package, now we got the Jazz for over 12 weeks. The leaders in sports entertainers.
Yep.
They come out, crowd. They let the crowd sing along. Right up until we get to the hook. And then Jericho's like, all right, that's enough.
But you know this crowd.
Yeah, they kept going.
Judas in my...
Yeah. And fucking Angelo Parker grabs the mic and he's like, we dominated Anarchy in the Arena. Therefore, AEW Galaxy, appreciate us. Because Roman Reigns. They did the whole fucking Roman Reigns bit.
Acknowledge me, but appreciate.
Appreciate us. I love that their gimmick is just WWE. Yep. That's so funny to me.
We're WWE and AEW, man.
And the crowd fucking hates them for it.
This gives me, what was it? NWA and WWE vibes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But way better.
Yep. Fucking no Jim Cornette.
Yeah. And they're not actually doing like fucking shit that was out of style. Well, I mean, they're doing fireballs, but they're doing.
Speaking of fireballs, he says some hilarious shit. But yeah. Go ahead.
Jericho has parlayed the whole fireball shit into some wacky shit. So he's made it work. He's a fucking. Yep. He is a wizard. He really is. Daddy Magic is like, did you order the pay-per-view? Yeah, bro, I did. I ordered it. It was good.
Did you see?
Yeah. But then you will see that we are the princes of pain because no one does it better. Jericho says, you know, winning that match did not come without a price. We were beaten, bloodied, thrown through tables. And even though that psycho Eddie Kingston tried to burn me, crowd pops huge. Like, yeah, he tried to kill you. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, he tried it. Well, he'll talk about it.
Jericho goes, what kind of man tries to burn another man? Tony goes, a wizard. I pop so big for that.
Oh, God. I'm like, you idiot. Yeah.
But you know Jericho's doing it on purpose. Yeah, he's being a fucking heel
hypocrite. He should have stopped and afterwards said, the only person who can burn anybody is me. Because I'm a wizard.
And then he's like, then there's Bryan Danielson, who said he's going to kick my expletive head in. Says me and Jake Hager had to choke him out. He's not even here tonight.
That, though? That's so weird. Expletive.
Yeah, expletive.
Isn't it expletive?
Yeah.
Why are you saying it like that?
Do it. He's a wizard. That's how wizards talk. Then he's like, you know, he's not here tonight. Same as what Daniel Garcia is going to do to John Moxley tonight. He's going to choke him out and take him out. Because as always, sports entertainers always beat pro wrestlers. But then Eddie Kingston comes out.
Fuck.
Crazy pop for this New York guy all the way out west in Cali.
Yep, with a DiMaggio shirt
with
on.
With a Joe DiMaggio shirt on. Fucking William Regal alongside him. And he's like, I want to fight. I will fight all five of you right now. But Mr. Regal, you tell him where I want to fight. And Regal takes the mic.
Yes!
Blood and guts! And guts!
Yeah! He said the thing! He did the thing!
He did it!
Yo, I lost my absolute fucking mind when he did the thing. I was like, War Games!
Hey, Black God and Gold NXT. You like that Black and Gold NXT?
Yo,
look what
they
we got going
it.
On.
They did it. Blood and guts. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, the goosebumps.
Once again, they've
God,
been showing
he
you
said
love.
The thing. He did it. He fucking did it. Yes.
She was great.
Yes.
Jericho goes, you want blood and guts? You ain't getting blood and guts. Get him, boys. And then, you know, the Jazz, they attack Eddie. Jericho's in the ring alone. He's like, you're not getting blood and guts, Eddie. You belong in a cage. And then from behind, Ortiz runs in, fucking bonks Jericho with the goddamn A ball.
Yep.
He fucking full on.
He threw fire. That shit. You just hear it go. You hear that shit. Yeah, Boris was just like, cracking upside this man's head. Yeah.
I was like, yo.
I was
shit.
Like, yo, chill, my man. You just hear the thud, the pop. I'm like, oh.
And then he pulls out a pair of scissors. He must be hanging out with the Acclaimed.
Yep.
And he cuts a lock of Jericho's hair.
Yep. What does he do with it?
He takes it. He's all waving it around. And then the fucking Jazz, they run in. And then Ortiz backs out. And then he waves around the scissors like,
but what does he do with the hair?
The hair? Oh, he's waving it around. He puts it in his pocket and shit.
He puts it in his pocket. Why does he steal everything?
He's stealing everything.
It kills me. That's his gimmick. I'm going to take something of yours. And I'm keeping it.
This is mine now.
Like, he does it with everything. The sneakers, the shoes, everything that he's ever, anybody he's ever faced. He steals something from them. I'm like, why are you always stealing shit, my man?
He bought that shit. Or team from around the way. You know what I'm
saying. He really is from the hood, bro. What the fuck are you? God, this shit will probably. And then Jericho kind of solidifies it by saying, you're going to take my hair, huh? You're going to cut my hair? My hair's worth more than anything. My hair's worth more than you. And he's like, good shit, nigga. Now I can sell this shit on eBay.
You're not well, I'm selling it now since you said that. I love how Jericho was fucking furious. You stupid son of a bitch. You cut my hair. And then at this point, he's like, you want blood and guts? You got it. But first, I want you, Ortiz, one-on-one, hair versus hair.
You know
Ortiz
who's losing
like,
that.
Let's go.
You know who's losing that.
I think Jericho's losing that.
He has to.
Because he's balding now, so. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to cut your hair, Ortiz, and then I'm going to burn you because I'm a wizard.
What did you just say about burning? I wish you said it earlier, but fuck.
The Jazz is somehow the fucking funniest group while still maintaining the right intensity for a blood feud, and I don't know how Jericho does it.
I don't.
Like, Ortiz cutting his hair being the thing that made him accept the challenge is hilarious to me. You cut my hair? All right, fine. Blood and guts. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
That was so funny. God.
He gonna sell that shit on eBay.
Right?
Nah, he gonna sell that shit on 25th. Some dude gonna pull up to get his hair braided. He gonna be like, how much is his hair? This is Jericho hair, bro. You don't even know. sell it to the African lady, put on some Jericho hair on you.
Yeah, they gonna have it in the store right next to Popeye's on 25th. Then we go back to Sunday, where, you know, we're after the Owen Hart men's final, and Joe's getting interviewed by Tony, and he's like, yeah, my arm is fine, but let me tell you. And then Jay Lethal and Sanjay and Satnam Singh are like, you ain't telling nobody nothing. Interviews aren't allowed here. And they attack him and beat him down and Pillmanize his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking like Joe may be a little hurt for the time being. I imagine, since, you know, Ring of Honor is going to be doing their pay-per-view, that we're finally going to get some, you know, some resolution to that at that pay-per-view.
I'm dying to see some Ring of Honor, man. I like Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Now, we got the Undisputed Elite, Redragon, the Young Bucks, and Hikuleo.
Yes.
Versus Jurassic Express, Christian, Matt Hardy, and Darby Allin.
Yeah. Apparently, Jeff Hardy, I almost called him Ivan. You know why.
Yeah, I do.
So Jeff Hardy, apparently he's a bit banged up after all that, you know, craziness he's been doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, now, you know, he's gotta take a backseat to this one.
Got the Owen Hart men's winner Adam Cole on commentary. Young Bucks get a big pop because, you know, Cali boys.
Yeah.
So
Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah. The Excalibur points out Jurassic Express also from California. JR goes, the big lizards from California? And Excalibur's like, yeah. Kyle and Jungle Boy start. Cole is putting over Kylie's like, Kyle O'Reilly is a machine. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And Tony Schiavone's like, I agree. I think he's the best member of Undisputed Elite. You fucking tell him, Tony. That's what I'm talking about. Kyle is the man. We Kyle O'Reilly over here.
Even though he got a creepy ass face, but it's cool.
And all that shit, man. Yeah.
Tevin love creepy face Kyle.
I love creepy Kyle. That's my guy right there. Christian and Matt, they come in, have a quick little stare down. Of course, JR. A lot of history.
TBT, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, then they start double teaming Bobby Fish. Christian's the top rope splash on Matt Jackson, and then it's broken up. And it breaks down. Yeah. big breakdown. Everybody starts a diving. Christian goes for the kill switch, but Nick pops in and it's a super kick. Fucking Adam Cole calls it like he's Steve Corino.
Did you see the super kick a sign in the crowd?
Yeah.
Where they had, it was super kicks with an S at the end, and it was pictures of Jordans and shit.
Yeah. Because
they're always wearing super kicks for their super kicks.
Yes. You know, as usual, Bucks got
so collect
the
ass. Yeah.
We come back from break. Dino Hot Tag is on. Luchasaurus does a fucking T. Harris into a Spike Rana on Nick. And then Jungle Boy jumps off his back for a Destroyer on Matt. That should look crazy.
Yes.
But then Hikuleo comes in to break it up, and now we got a hoss fight.
Yeah. Let's go.
So Luchasaurus going at each other.
You gonna choke slam me? No, I go choke slam you.
Then it's like, no, let's hit the ropes. Hit the ropes, double down off the clothesline. Then Darby gets the hot tag, and then he and Kyle are going. And honestly, man, I could watch Kyle and Darby go forever, man. These two are great together.
I was going to say something that reminded me of, just seeing Hikuleo's, like, hair and all that. Man, that shit gave me Kane and Undertaker vibes, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You choke slam me? No, I choke slam you.
Choke slam you. So Darby takes Hikuleo out. fucking Hikuleo, when he goes over the top, he lands right on his head. I was like, oh shit. Even JL was like, oh my God, he landed right on his head. But he's clearly okay enough, I guess, because Darby goes for a coffin drop. Hikuleo catches him and throws him right into Redragon for chasing the dragon on the outside. Then Matt Hardy comes in and goes crazy. He deletes the Young Bucks. He bashes their heads into the corner. Delete, 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 delete. That's two corners done. You know, then he deletes Redragon.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
You know when you're trying to when you write one of those emails you're not really trying to send, you're just trying to vent, but you actually send it. Delete, 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 delete.
Matt was doing a lot of deleting shit.
Every corner, delete, 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 delete.
Deleted Redragon. And then Hikuleo comes in. He's like, I'm going to delete you too, motherfucker. But Hikuleo requires administrator privileges to modify.
You know what's crazy? When I was watching that, I was like, even if you do the delete, 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 he's going to turn around and be like, fucker, I'm Tongan.
Yeah. That's not going to work regardless.
Oh, God.
So, Bucks come in, and it's a super kick party. They go for the BT trigger. They go for the BT trigger on Jungle Boy, but Matt stops them. And then Redragon comes in. They hit total elimination on Matt Hardy.
Hell yeah.
And then the Bucks get the Meltzer driver on Jungle Boy, and they get the 1, 2, and 3 Young Bucks pin the tag team champions, which leads me to wonder, do we got another triple threat for the boys in the future? Because the Bucks just beat the champs, and the Hardys just beat the Bucks. So, be interesting to see where we go.
Let's see.
And then, post-match, faces are in the ring. Matt goes over to Jungle Boy, gives him some love. But then Christian's like, hey, come here. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
pulls him and Luchasaurus away.
Yeah.
And Matt's like, what the hell, man? And JR goes, interesting.
In my head, I'm like, when I saw that, I was like, fucking Christian is over here remembering those days. No, TLC, no. I'm waiting for the heel turn, man. I told you, that's the only reason why I got mad for the pay-per-view. I'm like, I'm tired of it, man. Just fucking do it already.
Still building it. They're still building it. I'm telling you, this is the new Julia. The new slow burn.
God, no. There's some times where I'm like, yeah, slow burn, hell yeah, you know, slow time, you know, storytelling, all that shit. And then sometimes where I'm like, nah, fam, just fucking go with it.
Give me the shit already.
I want to see it.
That's me with the trio titles. Give me the shit already, man. Give me the shit.
I'm over here like, Christian, come on, you got to turn heel. You got to do it for the peeps and all that shit.
I ain't going to lie. Every time, at the end of every fucking Jurassic Express match, I'll be looking at Christian like, is it Tom? Is it Tom, Christian?
You gonna do it?
Giving him a Stone Cold, Christian, what you gonna do, son?
What?
What?
I'm at a rest stop. What?
What? I said I'm at a rest stop.
For those of you who don't know, he sent that message to Christian. That's where it all started.
Yeah, basically, what is kinda Christian's fault?
Yep. He was messing with him. I believe he called him Jay and everything.
Yeah, he just left him a bunch of long-ass rambling voicemails. Like, imagine, I always imagine that being Christian just holding your phone, just Austin, I'm at a rest stop. What? And Christian just like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I feel like that's some dumb shit I would do to you.
Right? Like, what?
Tevin, I'm over here like, Tevin, look, 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 Tevin, look. Tevin, lo, 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 Tevin, lo, 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 Tevin, Tevin, lo. Tevin, lo. And Tevin's like, nigga, it's a message. What is he talking about?
We got Lexi with Keith Lee and Swerve. Swerve got a whole fucking game.
Yeah, he got a whole entourage.
Yeah, including Jeff Hamilton.
Yeah, and he got a fresh jacket from him.
Yeah, gave him a fresh-ass jacket. Man, it's like Swerve. I love how they do these little things with Swerve that always just make him seem like the coolest fucking dude. Like, Swerve always got some cool shit going on. Like, yo, here goes Swerve at the Grammys. Here goes Swerve with Jeff Hamilton. Like, yeah. I love Keith that they Lee, do shit like that.
Keith Lee just be there by proxy. Like, Yeah.
That basically what happened. It was basically the same thing in this promo where Swerve, he says all the cool shit. He's like, I got so-and-so with me. We going to do this and that. And then Keith Lee just pops in. And you're going to Swerve in our door. Now we got Tony on stage. And he brings out AEW's newest signing, Athena.
Hell yeah.
Fallen goddess.
She has a cool fucking Alpha rock theme and everything. And yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever she was wearing, she looked like a fucking star, bro. Why wasn't she wearing that?
She looked
WWE?
Great.
Like, fuck. You came out here all fucking cool and bougie and badass. I'm like, yeah, why didn't you wear any of that shit over there?
They wanted her dressed like Mandy. That's why. Why you ain't wearing fucking Daisy Dukes and showing off your ass?
You gotta be half naked. This is WWE.
But Athena, she's like, you know, it's clear why I'm here, Tony. I want the TBS champion, Jade Cargill. She says, all streaks were made to be broken, and I'm the one that's going to break your streak, Jade.
Ooh.
She says, she is the fallen goddess. She is the alpha. But then we hear from the back, Tony, cut the shit.
I didn't even, I'm doing my job.
She was talking, bro. I wasn't even.
Fuck, man. Tony can't do nothing.
Hey, man. Playing Tony out here, but.
Can't do nothing.
Yeah. Jade comes out, and then she's like, let me introduce the best talker in the game.
She ain't lying.
And then she throws it. She damn sure ain't lying. She throws it to Big Stokely Hathaway.
Hell yeah. I'm just going to call him this Stokely because. Yeah. I feel like Stokely, that sounds cool. It's a cool name, Stokes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you're going by on Twitter now, I think, Big Stoke.
Hell yeah.
So I like that.
I think it's because of goddamn fucking, what was it, Luke Cage?
Yeah.
That Stoke last name is fire, bro.
Yeah. Stokes. Mariah Stokes.
Stokes. Yeah. All that shit.
So, you know, Stokes says, you know, as Jade's publicist, I have to let you know that this woman is a queen, a goddess, our TBS champion. And I know you want your little title shot, but, and then he puts up the mic to Jade, not today. And then they both like, hey, we fucking got her. And then.
Bars.
And then Kira Hogan steps up like, you want to fight? You can fight me. And then that looks like that's going to pop off. But then Anna Jay and Chris Statlander come out.
Little thickies fighting.
There's a whole little thicky situation going on here with Anna Jay and Chris Statlander and fucking Kira Hogan and everybody. Everybody staring down. It's popping off. And like, just like the pay-per-view, we got a little six-woman situation.
Yeah.
And then Stokely's like, get the security out here. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Get security out here. And then the refs come out and he's like, good.
That was dope.
Back him up.
That was dope.
Yeah, I like this. It's a good little situation. Hey. I like that, you know, we involving more women and shit, and we be building a new angle with a hot new signing. I like this. I like all this.
I like that fuck Mark Sterling.
Yeah, Mark Sterling is done. Now we got
fuck
Stoke.
Mark Sterling. We got Stoke.
But I mean, like, this was the
we
move.
Got the
like,
Stoke.
when like, we talked about it when he first left WWE. Mm-hmm. Like, Jade and Stokely, that's the money right there. That's the money.
Hell yeah.
And you can already see it. You can already see it. And, you know, Smart Mark is going to be more than fine. He got like 30 other clients on the show. So, and you got a whole bunch of other shit going on. So Smart Mark is good.
For my Bad Bunny fans, you got Red Velvet and Kiera Hogan. Bebecita. Bebecita. And then you got Jade Cargo. Bebesota. That's for my Bad Bunny fans. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Shout out to the Benito peeps.
Yo, he got that new album. Fire.
People said they're loving it. Yeah, people love it.
That shit is that. Yo, I already hear it. And it's crazy. It's like the weather got warm. Boom, Bad Bunny album. And everybody's just bumping it now.
Yeah, he picked the right time to drop, too.
Hell yeah. Like at the moment it got warm, everybody just, every car that I hear, fucking Bad Bunny. I'm like, damn, son, he did that shit.
Yeah, man. Now, we got Wardlow versus JD Drake.
I'm going to say some things after this, but it's cool.
The big man comes out. No more security. And at first, he's still rocking no music, but then the music kicks in as he gets to the ramp.
Nah, they did it right. They did the Goldberg.
Yeah, they did the Goldberg.
They're following him coming. No, they did the Austin technically.
Yeah.
Because Goldberg always had all the whole crowd and shit. But with Austin, what they did was they showed him walking towards the tunnel, walking out. Here's where they fucked it up to me. They should have played the video and the music the moment that he got, you know, to the tunnel. And you blank that out and then you show that. And then boom, it has a bigger impact. The way they did it, where he comes out, there's still no music. And then when he gets to the stage, then you play the music. I don't like the way that looks. It looks weird. It's odd.
Yeah.
If everything was blacked out, it would have been cool, but it wasn't blacked out. So
yeah, they were playing his Tron and stuff.
Yeah, it was weird. It was awkward. Play the music when you see him going up the stairs, play the music then. Moment that he's about to hit them steps, play the music, and then don't keep showing him going up. Flip straight to the thing camera, the stage camera, and boom. It gives it a bigger oomph, you know? Just letting y'all know.
Yeah, so he hits the stage, and then the music starts. It ain't War Pigs, but it's fine because it's his old theme. Yeah. And this is War! Which I was still happy to hear. I was like, yeah, it's back.
Yep, they showed it in the background. This is War. And I was like, but I'm telling you, the music and the thing were off. And I'm like, it's throwing me off a bit, bro. Yeah, I fucked that up a little bit.
So you get to this match, and you know how it is. JD Drake hits War Dog with some big chops, but Warlow ain't having that shit. Gets him in the corner, just lifts him out like a fucking child and drops him. And JD Drake is not small.
Nah, so he's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah. So, and now it's time for the Powerbomb Symphony. But Wardlow, I guess he was like, actually, I kind of like you, JD Drake, because he only gave him two Powerbombs. Like, I'm taking it easy on you.
Yep.
Two.
Go ahead.
I was going to say two Powerbombs and he pinned.
Yep. I'm going to go back to the Redeemer and Johnny Elite, a match. If you look at that one, where you had, you know, Johnny Elite, and then you had Miro, they went off and they had a nice little, like, it wasn't a straight up squash. It was what I would call a competitive squash. Yeah. Right? I would have done more of that here than a straight up squash. And if you wanted to do a straight up squash, I would have picked somebody else. And I'll tell you why, and it's literally just because he's such a goddamn good wrestler. Like, yeah. Drake is really, really good. Like, if you ever watch this man, like, he's such a really good wrestler, and it didn't look, you know, I mean, they got there at the end, but, like, if you notice, at first, the crowd isn't really, like, you know what I'm saying? He's not a tiny bumper.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, there's guys that are small, and they just bump the shit out of everything, and it looks gorgeous because they're just bumping like motherfuckers. But in this situation, it's like he's not bumping crazy and it's still, you know, so like took him a while, but it wasn't until he started going like symphony mode that like the crowd really amped up, like towards the end, that little end sequence, you know, where he started getting in the power moves and shit. So it's like if you were going to do this match with somebody of this caliber, I would have had them do either, like I said, like a nice little, not straight up, squash match, but you know, like you know, like a competitive squash instead of like a straight up squash match, because the straight up squash match you would have had to get somebody into that smaller who can just bump their ass off, you
know? I saw someone on Twitter say they would have brought in Biff Busick for a quick one with Wardlow.
Because he would have bumped crazy.
If there's anyone that would have had like a great like 4 to 6 minute match with Wardlow, ain't nobody better at doing that shit than Biff Busick.
Yep.
Because he would have made Wardlow look like a monster. He would himself look like a monster because that's Biff's specialty. Yep. He knows how to fucking put these types of dudes over in these showcase matches while making himself look good. So yeah, I would have put Biff in there.
So you get what I'm saying then?
Yeah. I feel you. So yeah, because I remember reading that on Twitter and I was like, ooh, I like that. So Tony, if you're listening, Biff. Bring in Biff. Bring in Biff in general, because Biff is the man.
Yeah, but get Biff.
Now, Tony comes to the ring to talk to the big man, but out comes smart Mark Sterling in the security detail, and he's like, Wardlow, you think you're so great, huh? Attacking all the security, you think you can do whatever you want? Well, You better read it and weep, big man. And he sends one of the security guys into the ring. Wardlow's like, this guy doesn't watch the product. Yep, he drops the mic.
he literally said that. Like, this is not, he didn't kind of say that. He didn't say that with the way he, no, he said that.
I am verbatim quoting Wardlow. Yeah. This guy doesn't watch the product.
This guy doesn't watch, and he fucking murders him.
Yeah, and fucking Smart Mark tells him, Wardlow, you are being sued by the American Arena Security Professionals for constantly attacking security. It's not a real company. But I love, like, Wardlow being served a class action lawsuit for constantly beating up the security is fucking hilarious and a surprisingly realistic outcome for him doing that. Yep.
That's what would really happen in real life.
That's what would happen in real life. You keep attacking the security, man. What the fuck is wrong with you?
And he's just like, meh, don't care. Kill him. Kill all of you.
And he continued to attack the security. Smart Mark goes, no, he has a family.
But you see, they smart as fuck with that. Because then the crowd gets something to, after that whole MJF gimmick, the crowd gets something to latch on to, you feel me?
Because I'm
telling you, the whole reason why it was dead in the beginning of the match is because that whole MJF thing took the wind out of everybody.
It did. And it's like I said, that was the one thing I didn't like about it, is that it took away from the Wardlow situation, because they did it right after and he didn't sell anything. Like he said in the beginning, I'm hurt, but like, you know, he wasn't selling nothing.
Now imagine that whole situation, right? Even without the MJF thing having had happened, right?
Yeah.
But with Biff Busick, off rip, it would have felt fun.
Yeah, because you know Biff would have just ran up to him and fucking...
And everybody would have been like, oh, this man is crazy.
Yeah.
And then he would have got murdered by Wardlow, but still we would have been like, that nigga's crazy. I want to see that crazy bastard again. He doesn't give a fuck.
Biff, bring in Biff.
Well.
Right, get a theme like that. Then he going to come down. I love Biff Busick, man. That dude's
fuck,
so good.
Fuck, get Danny Burch for that shit.
Martin Stone. Biff Busick and Martin Stone. Both those
Let's
dudes.
Let's do it. Yeah. Tevin out here calling them by that.
Well, they don't work in WWE no more.
I still got it in my head, though. By the way, he ripped up the class action lawsuit. So.
Yeah, one of them. Fuck this shit. I don't
and
care.
Shoved it in the guy's mouth. Fuck litigation. I don't care.
Yeah, that's what JR was like. Can't do litigation in wrestling.
In fact, that don't work. Oh man. Well, talking about LA, talking about hometown boys, unfortunately. Tevin, talk about
it. Lexi is with Men of the Year, and you know what time it is. This is getting skipped.
I wasn't too mad about it.
The promo was fine, but
you know.
He's facing Dante on Rampage.
Yeah, Scorpio's a good promo, and you know.
This actually was not a bad promo. Like, Dan Lambert was like, Dante Martin he is was very calm. Good.
Yeah.
He because there wasn't a woman involved. So he's just like, Dante Martin is really good. And, you know, but it'll take him years to be as good as Scorpio Sky. And then Dante's like, man, I'm better than you right now, and I'll beat you on Friday.
Damn, I almost said some fucked up shit. I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah, man.
Are you sending me to hell for the next match?
I might have to go too.
Time to go to the hot box.
Listen, man, I don't know what it is, man. I watch a lot of women's wrestling, all right? I watch a lot of women's wrestling. And, you know, there's a lot of attractive women in the business. You know, deal with it.
But there's something about Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter.
It's when Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter are in the ring together. It's just,
God.
I don't know, man. I don't know why. It's different.
My brain is
different.
Just,
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm and Ruby Soho.
Hi.
First thing, no. Ruby's pop is significantly diminished, and it pisses me off because it just makes me like, I'm looking at Britt with that belt, and it's like, you didn't fucking need that shit.
True.
So it just annoyed me early on, but this match was really good. So got better. Britt goes to tag in Hayter early on against Toni, but Jamie does not want the smoke. She's like, you got it. You got it, Britt. You got it. And Britt's like, tag. And Jamie's like, you got it, though. You definitely got it.
Yeah. See, Jamie got to get used to the smoke because she going to marry me. banter.
She's running from me now, man. I don't get used to it. Then they double team Ruby. Britt hits a twisted neck breaker on the floor. We go to commercial. We come back. Mm-hmm. Ruby drops Britt with the Saito suplex. Gets the hot tag to Tony. Suplexes the fuck out of Jamie Hayter. I was like, oh my god, she dumped her on her noggin.
Boom! And it was the thud that shit made.
Yeah. And then she gets her in the corner, fucking bombs her with the hip attack. Like, Tony's going full force with the hip attack now. And like I always say, Tony Storm's hips, they hit different. But
did you hear the crowd when her hips hit?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Jamie Hayter that she did it to, right?
Yeah.
Her head whipped all the way back to the fucking turnbuckle.
Yeah.
To the bottom turnbuckle, the one that she was on. So it was like, oh, and the whole crowd goes, oh. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, you ain't had to do it like that. Yeah. But now you know what you're in for.
Yeah, Tony been doing it like that, though, since he's been here.
Y'all almost ripped off my headphones right now.
Hayter goes for the power bomb, but Tony reverses. It's the Alabama slam. Britt comes in, hits a butterfly suplex on Ruby. Ruby comes back, hits No Future for the 1-2. She got her. No. Britt goes for lockjaw, but Ruby won't let her lock it in. Britt and Jamie get crossed up on the apron, but then Tony pulls her down. And then Ruby hits Destination Unknown for the 1, 2, and 3.
Ruby Soho.
Ruby gets the win on Britt. She pins Britt. Could have did that on Sunday, but I digress.
Back to my Benito fans. Titi me preguntó si tenía mucha novia. Mucha novia. Hoy tengo una, mañana otra. Me la voy a llevar a toa. I wanted to take each and every one of them girls to the VIP.
To jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
I was swooning. I was simping, swooning, all of it, bro. Get me out of here, bro.
Oh, good for them, golly, though, for giving Ruby the win. Good for them for at least doing that.
Yeah, but this was a good-ass match.
Nah, this was a really good match. I like this. I thought this was Britt's best performance in a good long while.
Crowd was so into it, too.
Going crazy for it. This was a really good match. I like this a lot.
Hell yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, everybody looked great here. Good match. Mm-hmm. And they pushed, because that was kind of the story here. They pushed Britt and Jamie. They did it subtly. But again, they're pushing Britt and Jamie and how one day that's probably going to break off.
It's the Christian thing again. And I'm like, just fucking do it.
Do it already.
I'm not as crazy about it with this one, especially because Jamie Hayter's being hilarious as a heel. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure she's probably going to turn face if they do it.
Yeah.
That's probably the way they're going to go. She was being, did you see when she pranced to the ring? It was like, oh, look at the poor baby. She hurt. I was like, yo, you such a heel.
Cause like, you see her on the bottom. She just runs over and pulls Tony Storm off the apron. Then she comes back like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, you're such a heel.
This match was really fun. I like this match.
Everybody had good character work. Everybody was killing it, man. Mm-hmm. Ruby Soho is leagues above all these girls. I'm sorry. But watching her move in that ring, just boom, 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 bam, 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 taking those bumps. I'm like, yo, this girl is fucking elite, bro. You want to talk about elite? This girl is beast, man.
I felt that way about Jamie. Like, she was going in it. Like, again, when her and Tony get in the ring, and I guess that's part of it, they go. Like,
who was somebody ran up to her when she was in the on the apron at a certain point?
Yeah.
Or some shit. And like, bro, she fucking bumped like a fucking pro. I was like, yo, what are you doing?
It's time for the main event.
Let's go.
Daniel Garcia versus John Moxley. Of course, Jericho and Regal are on commentary. Jericho goes, I'm surprised you're still alive, Regal. And Regal goes, keep talking. You'll bore me to death.
Yo, Regal got bars. You know who he reminds me of a little bit? Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
He gives me Gordon Ramsay vibes where he's like, he's kind of like got that attitude of like, oh, please.
Please, sunshine.
Like, nigga, please. Like, don't.
They show Macaulay Culkin in the crowd.
Having a great fucking time. That's
fucking
right.
Regal pops. He's like, he's home alone, sunshine. He's home alone.
That was funny.
And we are within the last 10 minutes of Dynamite schedule time, and they are pushing the hell out of the fact that we will stick with this match until the finish. So
yep.
They say that a lot, and usually I don't believe them, but this time I believed them because they kept saying it. I was like, okay, so they got an overrun tonight.
And not just that, the guys were in the audience, and of course the stars were out on top of that too. Like Vince Vaughn was there.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. Like that whole little row where because Vince Vaughn was like a few seats over from Macaulay Culkin, so that whole little row was like little Hollywood guys. So,
and then with all the executives there, like you knew it was gonna. Being over,
I knew it.
I felt it in my veins. And how hot the show has been so far, I was like, if they talking about an overrun, they going for it.
Yeah, if they saying that shit tonight, they mean it, and they did mean it. So, they're going early on. Fucking Moxley extends his hand to Garcia, like, come on, man, you know you want to be a pro wrestler. Stop playing.
Yeah,
you know you ain't no sports entertainer.
That's what I mean. I'm like, this is where you belong. The fucking Blackpool Combat Club.
You know you should be with us, but Daniel Garcia's brainwashing is too strong at the moment.
Did you see that Tom Clancy game inspired hoodie that Moxley was wearing?
Yeah,
it looked mad Tom Clancy ish.
Yeah, it did.
Like, no, Moxley living. Yeah, but you know, it was a Blackpool Combat Club sweater, but very, very Tom Clancy looking.
It was cool. Mox goes for the paradigm shift, but Garcia tackles him through the ropes, and Mox is stitched up from obviously Sunday, and them stitches have opened up. So he's bleeding. Garcia sets up the steps, but Mox fucking suplex throws him onto the edge of them shits. That looked nasty.
And you heard the crowd and the commentators. Everybody was going on about it. It looked like he was trying to kill this poor kid, bro.
Regal's like, John Moxley's on my team, but oh my God, that was rough.
Salute to Brutal even for my taste. Isn't that right, man in the mask?
When William Regal is like, that's my enemy, but damn, you wild.
Oh, God.
So Mox hits a middle rope suplex for a two count. Then he goes to choke him out, but Garcia rolls through and he hits Mox with the MMA elbows. So then he goes for the choke, but Mox rolls through and then he hits the MMA elbows. And then he goes for the Jujikatami, but Garcia counters into an STF. Jericho puts him over big here. He's like, I was the man of 1,004 holds. Garcia knows 43
more.
And I was like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah, you weren't really the man of 1,004 holds, motherfucker. You just...
You were gimmicking on Dean Malenko.
Yep. The Saskatchewan shit. Wasn't this something Redunzel? What is it?
Yeah, the moss covered three handle Redunzel.
The fuck was that?
Yeah. Garcia probably know that shit. Backdrop driver from Mox, but Garcia eats it, gets right back up, and then drops Mox with the pile driver for a near fall. And then he puts on the sharpshooter. And then finally, we have a good sharpshooter because he does what Ruby Soho should have done, and he cranks all the way back. Yeah. So even though he's sitting and he's not, you know, standing up, he's going all the way back and it looks effective.
Yep. But you know, that kind of costs. comes at a price.
Him. Yeah, because now Mox is able to pull him right into the bulldog choke. And he gets out of it. But then they double down. They go over to the ringside table right as they indeed go over the 10 o'clock hour. And Tony's like, we're sticking with the match. We're sticking with the match. And they do.
Yep. By the way, Japanese table.
Japanese table did not break.
Not even close. It just tipped over.
Tipped over. The poor fucking girl behind it had to back up and get away.
She almost died.
Then Jericho runs down. Commentary's like, what the hell is he doing? But then Eddie, and here's the point. Eddie runs down, fucking almost trips, and then saves himself and grabs Jericho.
Last
minute. It was perfect. Last minute.
I don't know how he did it. He just kept himself upright enough.
Until he got to Jericho and was like, all right, grab, pull.
Oh, God, thank you. It was like, God
damn.
So he
grabs Jericho, stops him from interfering. Then Mox gets the paradigm shift. Bulldog choke follows. Garcia's out. Moxley wins.
Yes.
Faces are standing tall. Mox is in the ring. Mox sits in the ring, grabs the mic. He's like, Eddie Kingston, you are a hard guy to love. And Eddie's like, I know. And Mox is like, but you know I love you. Yeah. Says, you want blood and guts? Sign up John Moxley for blood and guts.
Oh my God, Eddie Kingston is our Hazel.
Yeah.
Hazel.
He acting crazy a lot of the time, but at the end of the day,
he get the job done.
You, man. Yeah, you get the job done.
God damn.
Yeah. So I guess we're doing a thing where the rest of the squad is going to sign up for it. Because I guess, well, obviously, Santana and Ortiz are probably in, and Mox is in. I guess Danielson's the last piece, right? And Eddie and Danielson have to work out their shit.
Yep.
Before blood and guts.
Yep.
So I imagine we're going to get that in the next few weeks.
Hopefully. Because, I mean, that's it. You guys got to get over that. Y'all got to... Hopefully they do a match.
That's what I feel like. They're going to do a match and they're going to bleed together. And that's where they hash it out and it's done.
Yep. So, that's what I hope.
Yeah.
See, that's where you can put in pro wrestling to solve problems.
Yeah, yeah. We got beef. Let's have a match. Hash it out.
Hash it out. Yeah, you can throw a few extra hard punches in there.
Yeah. And I like that. That's the fucking Blackpool Combat Club's whole fucking gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All we do is fight. If we got problems, we fight it out.
Yep. And then William Regal will come up and slap both of you, and then amen.
And then you're straight.
God is good.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
God is good. I thought this was a great show.
Yep.
Great show.
Yep. Best show I've seen in a long time.
Definitely.
Ratings should probably go through the roof for this one because this was crazy. Everyone was hype off the heels of fucking Double or Nothing. I don't know one person who wasn't going crazy for this.
Yeah, man. Like, obviously, the big talk of the show is MJF. But, man, everything else I thought hit as it needed to, too. Like, Miro's return, blood and guts, signature Young Bucks tag team match. Good. A lot more good women stuff. Like, the only thing we were really missing was Thunder Rosa, but apparently I think she said she was sick. So yeah, that's why she wasn't on the show.
I posted her on my story. She was wearing a red cowboy hat, and I was like, beady, beady, bum, bum.
But yeah, like, we talked about in recent weeks, like, you know, we feel like they're not giving the women enough opportunities to shine.
Nah,
like,
I
feel
like they did. Here tonight they did it.
They did better. They did better.
Because everybody had a story, everybody had a gimmick, everybody... See, yeah. I told you about them belts, that they were going to use them as visual props now. And then, you know, it works. Yeah.
It does work, it does work.
Seeing Britt Baker come down to the ring with a title, but what's wrong with you?
I guess that was Tony Khan's thing. We got to have a belt on her.
Yeah.
Give her a belt.
She looks weird without being some sort of champion.
Yeah, she's got a belt now. I thought perfect setup show coming out of the pay-per-view. A lot of times these post pay-per-view shows for AEW really hit because, you know, they're setting up stuff for the future. And with this being in such a big arena, I thought, you know, the crowd was great all night.
Yep. The crowd went apeshit.
Yeah. I hope this soon becomes the norm of AEW doing, like, you know, 15,000 plus seat buildings on the reg. Mm-hmm. I think Dave Meltzer said, this was the biggest TV audience for a wrestling show this year, in of any company. Like, because obviously, you know, WWE's done more with the pay-per-views and shit like that. But in terms of, like, you know, TV, Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, all that, this was the biggest crowd all year so far.
Yep.
So good for them. Really good for them.
Yeah. And look how hot this crowd was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I feel like they could even do even bigger numbers than what they even... They even think they can even fathom. Yeah. I feel like they're doing really good, and they could do even better. But I like the fact that they don't go out there and try to overbook shit or over, you know what I'm saying? Like, go somewhere that's so huge, you know what I'm saying? Like WWE just did. Where you have to give refunds and, oh, but you get first dibs on the next stadium. Assholes. Yeah.
And I was wilding the dude on a fucking UFC fight night. Like, that was, like, because Tony Khan, apparently he fucking, he was the one that told Dana White, yo, WWE had to move their shit, which is hilarious to me. And then, you know, of course, WWE fans got mad and they were like, why are Tony fucking talking shit? It was like, man, he said it to Dana White. That's, yeah, that's a baller move.
At that point, like, you just got to go with it.
Yeah. And I mean, shit, if AEW was ever dumb enough to try to fucking do a stadium show against a UFC card, not they should get happen. Made fun yeah. of too. They would deserve yep. it. So... Yep. Yeah, why would you do that? Yeah, this was yeah, fun night of pro wrestling, and you know, got a lot to talk about coming out of it with, mm-hmm, with the MJF mm-hmm. stuff and everything else. So you know, that's what you want, and especially in front of, like we've been talking about all night, all the executives and stuff. Like if I'm Tony Khan and you know I get to show them we sold out the Forum, 15,000, did great in the ratings. You know,
yeah,
look what we got going on here. We cooking.
Yeah. That things are lining up for them, and hopefully the execs see that shit and they go, you know what? We kind of want these guys on our side, because they're not only are they making money, but I mean, look at the people. Like, everyone's excited. Like, this is gonna make money not just for them. Like, this is gonna make money for everybody involved. You know, and I hope that the game developers and the merch people and all that look around and see, wow, we have a really viable asset here, and we should probably go even more into it. Let's go for it. Like, I'm over here waiting for fucking by the way, it just happened on my TV again. Eddie damn near busting his ass. But yeah, you know, I would look at that and be like, well, maybe we should, because I'm looking at the title belts and shit, like, maybe we should make more, maybe we should do this, maybe we should try this, maybe we should try to cut a little, you know, here and there and make a little more money. And you know, like, because I'm looking at all the merch shit WWE has. They can sell. They're selling merch off their ass. You feel me? Like, even shit that's not even relevant anymore. Like, fucking shit from, like, thousands of years ago. And now that AEW has all the Ring of Honor stuff and all that, like, they're looking really good, man. They're looking really good. And now hopefully everyone who's around them sees that and helps them, you know, keep going. You know, I'm not here to feed Tony Khan's ego or feed Tony Khan. I don't give a shit. I'm here because all them fucking wrestlers who busted their ass all these years, they deserve something. You feel me? They deserve the spotlight finally. They deserve to get the recognition for their hard work and their pain and their struggles and all that shit. They deserve the money. They deserve every ounce of what they're doing.
And if you're excited about all this MJF stuff, then this happens because AEW has risen as a viable number two and a viable alternative. Like, we weren't getting things like that in the past 20 years because of the fact that WWE was the only big game in town. When there's more competition, when there's more spread out among the pro wrestling landscape, then you get these types of cool things because the boys are driving the business and the boys get to have more leverage and freedom to do cool things. So, you know, it's yeah, like you said, it's not about feeding Tony Khan's ego or being a fan of his or anything like that. It's about wanting to see the business grow and succeed. It's not easy to be a pro wrestling promoter, mm-hmm, at mm-hmm. all. Like, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of things to do.
Yeah, and you're, like, not always, you know, gonna see everything. You know, sometimes there's shit that, you know, you're so in the you know, the business, and you're so into, you know, working, that you might not step back and go, wait a minute, it would have been better if I did this. Fuck. You know, and then, you know, you learn from it and you work, you know. So that's the way I'm seeing Tony Khan right now. People are forgetting he's been a wrestling promoter for 3 years. He's doing better than Impact did.
Like, that's the thing. Like I say that, you know, it's not easy to be a pro wrestling mm-hmm. promoter. Just to highlight, you know, what Tony Khan has done again. Because I think, like, especially with this MJF promo and him calling him a fucking mark and all that. It's like, it's easy to say that, but, like... Mm-hmm. Tony Khan knows what I keep saying it. Tony Khan knows what the fuck he's doing. You don't get this far without knowing what you're doing to some level. Like same as Vince and anybody who's ever been to this type of level. You gotta know what you're doing to get this far in the business and expand your business this much. And I've always said, you know, regardless of what you think about the product or the Vince or whatever, mm-hmm. like, he's the greatest promoter of all time because of what he's accomplished mm-hmm. with this company. Like, he made it into a global enterprise, billion-dollar company. Like, you don't do that if you don't know what you're doing. You just don't. Like, and Vince, as a businessman, expanded his business. Gotta respect that. Gotta respect that, no matter what. So yeah, you know, this shit is hard, and as far as business goes, you gotta have the acumen for it. And like, so far, number one and number two are Vince and Tony, and they seem to both be working, doing great things to expand their business in different ways right now. So
you heard that, you know, Bischoff? Gotta get props number one on and number two, Bischoff. You heard that? With all that we just said, let them know where to find. Yeah, let them know where to find us, B. Find us, B.
Find us.
Let them know.
Holla at us.
Let them know.
You already know. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania, Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club. We got the wrestlers and the podcasters, all the people that we associate with, posting all their goings on and all that's going down. And you know, it's summertime now. We getting there, so it's going to be a lot that's going on.
Ooh, Forbidden Door coming.
And months and all that.
Woo!
So yeah, keep it locked. As far as audio, wherever your audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast, everywhere podcasts are found, search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. And of course, as far as the visuals, you know, Spotify video, twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. So on YouTube, RambleMania Show or Banter Club. And when you like the video, when you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you. And that's for me personally.
And comment, share, and subscribe.
Comment, share, subscribe. Yeah, drop them comments. Show love. Like, do all that good stuff. And as far as me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. You can find me on Instagram at S. Well, that's fucking Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. You can find me on Twitter at S double I double X ain't I great. That is at SIIXX. You're all ready. And you can find us on TikTok at RambleMania Show, where we post funny clips from all these shows that we make for all of you. With all that finally out of the way, I would like to leave our BC aliens with a little something we like to call a too sweet.
Too sweet.
And a good fight. Blacker, 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 blacker,